I hope your heart's already been encouraged with the music this morning. Let's take our Bibles and go to the book of 1 Thessalonians this morning. 1 Thessalonians. My intentions, and they're not always, the end isn't always my intentions, obviously. I don't get there, but my intentions is not to preach real long this morning. I'm aware of the time. And yet I trust that our hearts might be filled this morning as we contemplate where we've been and where we're going as a church family. Over the last several years, we've taken the time in the afternoon service. Some of it's been a little bit more available to us because we've been indoors instead of outdoors. But I've given you a state of the church address. I'm not going to do that directly this morning, although it's going to be incorporated a little bit into our message this morning. And really it is an outgrowth. What our future is in many ways an outgrowth of where we've been and where we've been striving to go with the Lord Jesus Christ as a church family. I was drawn to this text contemplating, sometimes these special days are always difficult. What do you preach? I suppose I could have preached in our regular series, but yet it's a special day, and I think it might be a time for us to step aside and look at maybe a significant passage that would come to bear on the event of the day and the history of our church. And so I trust that this will be a blessing to your heart. 1 Thessalonians, we're in chapter 1. Now, as you recall, we were in a series in 1 and 2 Thessalonians a couple years ago, frankly. And so you may remember a little bit of some of this material as far as the background and so forth. But don't forget, Thessalonica was a city that Paul visited on his second missionary journey. He was there for actually a rather brief time. Some would contemplate maybe even 3 weeks, and was able to get a church established in that amount of time. It was probably maybe a little longer than that, but not much longer. Persecution set in, and he had to flee for his life, frankly. He was burdened and concerned about that church. Would they survive ultimately? We are looking ahead in the next year, Lord willing, to maybe starting that church plant with Pastor Allen, and we're excited about that. It's probably the furthest thing from our mind that we would be concerned that church would face persecution, although we do live in the state of Illinois, don't we? Anyway, that usually isn't on our radar, and yet here's Paul, and the reality of the beginning of a brand new church and persecution is prevalent. In fact, if we would take the time, and we're not this morning, as you recall from both 1 and 2 Thessalonians, Paul referred to persecution on several occasions, was encouraged ultimately that they were standing strong with the Lord, not allowing persecution to turn them away from the Lord Jesus Christ. And he rejoiced in that. So as he writes this book, he's encouraged that this family is staying with the Lord, and he's encouraged by what he hears. The truth that they had impacted and actually in the midst of hard times had continued to grow. I trust that that will always be the testimony of Heritage Baptist Church. Hard times can be described sometimes as when sin comes among us and we struggle to get along or to be brotherly in our love to one another. That could be a hard time for our church family. I trust that the Lord might protect us from that kind of division. Hard times could be that the economy for the nation and our state turns sour, and we see men and families having to leave. Well, that sounds rather familiar, actually, because of work. And it seems as though our finances diminish, and consequently, because finances diminish, ministry diminishes. There's just not as much you can do with littler money, if I can put it that way. Hard times could be that we face physical difficulties. Let's be honest, we love every soul here, but we do have a good group of senior saints, do we not? I am grateful. God has been gracious to us. When I came to the church, you start adding up and just the reality of longevity and so forth, life expectancy, that's the word I was looking for. It's like, oh man, does this mean I'm going to be doing a lot of funerals in the first few years I'm here? Thankfully, I have not done as many as I anticipated. Now, may God come back and we not worry about that, right? Wouldn't that be good if Christ returned today? Let's get it done and over with, all right? And yet there's ministry to be done yet, is there not? Obviously, this past week was even a demonstration to our hearts that God still is in the soul-saving business. Praise God. And we need to be faithful to that. And yet those hard times come. We have lost some dear saints, have we not? And that can wound our spirit and decrease our joy. And those are hard times. And yet, in the midst of all of that, and the persecution the Thessalonians faced, Paul could write this. And let's begin reading in verse number 1, chapter 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making a mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing. All right, so he just was continually, it was a continual point of joy. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. What an amazing testimony. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith, the God word, is spread abroad. So that we, as apostles, we, as God's declarers of truth, we need not to speak to anything. You've already spoken it for us. For they themselves, those that we've talked to about your testimony, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. I find some joy in my heart and soul today as a result of being able to minister to you like Paul ministered to the Thessalonians. I see, first of all, among us that you have a work founded in faith. We're looking at verse 3. This is going to be our key verse, although we're going to run over to verse 7 and 8 in just a couple minutes. You see, the Thessalonians had worked hard. It was their business, in fact, that's the idea of work, to live out their faith, their work, their service, their ministry, that was sourced in what they believed. It doesn't take long being around somebody that you soon find out what they really believe. We gather together on Sundays and Wednesdays as our regular practice, and sometimes we can hide it from one another what we really believe. Thankfully, in some respects, we're a small enough church, and so we interact in the week too, and we soon find out what really is important. And then there's this thing called Facebook. All right? The great revealer of hearts. All right? Don't forget that, by the way. And so I find among us, oh, not perfect saints, but saints that love to serve the Lord. These Thessalonians had given themselves over to living out their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believer, everything you do should be a work of faith. Everything you do should be a work of faith. Every decision you make, every choice you decide on, what action you're involved in, how you do your job, how you live, every moment of the day should be affected by what you believe. It will show, and generally, you know, by the fruits you know them eventually. We can hide for a while and disguise for a while, but it'll eventually show. And let me encourage you, believers, let your life shine as a testimony of who Jesus Christ is and what one day you will see Him as, your judge and Lord. And may everything you do be affected by your faith. Don't be double-faced in your life. Don't come to church, do the Christian thing, come around Christians and do the Christian thing, obey God's word at that moment, and not be a Christian when you walk out these doors. This world needs people who say that there's something wrong with the world by how they live and what they say and what they do. The world is tired of their entertainment. You ask a sinner that's struggling with his soul, and he finds emptiness in his alcohol, in his movies, in his entertainment, in his smoking, in his drugs, and his clothing. He doesn't find any satisfaction. He knows there's nothing worth it there. And he needs a believer who will come and live before him and speak to him about his dear Savior, who lives out his faith in front of him. And I know where I can find the answer. You know, Henrietta over here at my neighborhood, she's a believer, and I can go find out the answer. There's something different about her. The testimony of my former pastor, Dr. Marriott, the reason he got saved, he attributes it to a lady that he worked with. He was going to the University of Cincinnati and working in a hardware store to help pay some of the bills. This girl had some not mental retardation, but just was restricted mentally a little bit. Not super bright. Was able to take care of herself and so forth, but she loved the Lord. And she would, on a regular basis, talk to Marty. Marty, you need to get saved and ask Jesus to be your Savior. He could debate her, and if you know him to this day, that he scares me. If I try to persuade him about something, if he's not convinced, I lose every time. All right? That's God's gifted him that way. And he could debate her and always win the argument, but there was something about that dear lady that he couldn't overcome. She was real, and he knew his heart wasn't. There was emptiness therein. Oh, he was enjoying the riches of the hippie movement at that day, and they were worthless to him. And there was one gal in his life who would not give up on him and who walked with the Lord every day. And guess what? Though he didn't get saved in her presence, he says she was the one that was the strongest influence in bringing me to Christ. She passed away with the Lord. It was several years ago. Dr. Marriott's son wrote an amazing tribute to her. It was moving. May God help us to live our faith so that the world knows that Heritage Baptist Church, and you in particular, love God and will obey Him in every aspect of your life. They had a work of faith that moved Paul and rejoiced his heart. As your pastor, let me say, keep it up and keep growing. Don't stop. Secondly, their labor that was founded in love, and then by their labor founded in love. He was moved by their work founded in faith, and then their labor founded in love, verse 3. You see, they labored to a wearisome toil at times. They were willing to go the extra mile in reaching the lost and helping the needy among their own church family. They loved, irrespective of merit. That's the idea of the love there. Catch that, folks. They loved irrespective of merit. Often, our difficulties among us are because we believe they owe me something. Our pride and our selfishness gets in the way. These Thessalonians had a labor, they worked hard at it. It wasn't easy, it was toil. But their labor of love was so full and rich that they gave God's love to all those around them, irrespective of the merit that that person may have received, or earned, I should say. We are, by God's grace and with His help, as you know, we've talked about it often, and I sense, Lord willing, a good spirit of support in this. But as we step away from BBS, we'd hope that maybe we'd see some kids come from the South Beloit area where we could start picking up on our shuttle bus. We've made some decisions because of insurance and some good wise counsel that we'll probably use the shuttle bus for that ministry. Don't shoot me, please. We'll take care of it, and the tailors have promised that they'll watch over it really well. It's a safer vehicle and actually will provide us some safety against any lawsuits that might come, all right? So as we drive and then it's a good testimony. Obviously, it's this Heritage Baptist Church on the side. And we pick up a few kids. I suspect it's going to start with just a handful. And God would grow us to be able to fill that shuttle bus to, 13 kids plus the tailors, all right? That's all you can fit in there, and that's all we can have because that's the rules. I'll get it out, the law and the rules. And yet, I see this character quality in the Thessalonians, and I've seen it in you folks, and I trust that it will continue. We will reach into homes and families that are pretty poor, that have not had the influence of Jesus Christ in their homes. The greatest influence is probably the TV, the drugs that dad's taking, the wickedness of mom, and she could generally care less about her children. I'm grateful that God thrust me into that ministry years ago when I was in the Detroit area. It was a little scary. I'm with you on that scary part. I'd served the Lord in of course, under my father as in high school and college and so forth, and then went out to Pennsylvania and served in a rural community where the church was the social event. You know, the kids at the church, whatever we did, that's what they did. We didn't have all the computer stuff back in those days and so forth. And so it was great fun and a very, in a sense, homogeneous group. A lot of godly families, good families that loved the Lord, and they were on board. We had our rebels and so forth, I understand. But they were from good homes that I had good support from moms and dads. And it was, in many ways, just a blessed youth ministry. Just a great way for God to help grow me in youth ministry. Well, then as the Lord directed me to the Detroit area, just north of Detroit, and in Warren, Michigan, and South Warren is about as bad as Detroit. Anything you hear about it on the news, it's probably pretty true. There were times where I would go on calls and be concerned for my life. That's just the reality of it. Well, I start ministering to these children, these teenagers. I remember having a youth sponsor. I said, Josh, we've got to get a ping pong table that the kids can stand on and jump on and it won't fall over and be destroyed. I mean, that's the kind of roughhousing sometimes you had to deal with. And then you had to have a pile. I mean, I had youth sponsors like crazy just to keep. And Lord blessed. There were times where we were running 100 in the youth ministry. And 60% of that was kids that we brought in our buses and vans and striving to integrate them into the church, make them a part of the church family, grow them in Christ, help them learn some discipline, keep them busy so they wouldn't get in trouble. And yet these hearts that just so desperately needed a Savior and no support in the home. Your heart would just be hurting for them. As you had an hour on a Wednesday night or Sunday morning, Sunday school and church time, and then you'd send them back to their place where they know you knew that there was just no encouragement spiritually whatsoever. That they survived until the next Wednesday sometimes was just a miracle of God. It really was that bad. And yet the joy and delight that God worked in my heart and then the hearts of our church family as we judiciously and carefully ministered to them and gave them love, even though at times they didn't give it back. And to see God work in hearts and lives. Before I left, I can't promise a lot of success in it other than success in my own heart, because it gave me a heart to love any soul, and I hope that God will always keep that burning in my heart. But to see one of our bus kids who grew up in our bus ministry, no support at home, come with me on two mission trips. She passed, we called it TNT at our church, teens in training. We call it the step trip stuff, whatever. She had to have her devotion. She had to go with us on calling to share the gospel. She had to attend church faithfully. She had to take notes on the sermons. All those things to be a part of our church activities. She had to help serve in a church. I mean, she'd been baptized and a member of the church. That was a delight. What joy to see God. Now, that was one out of how many, frankly, hundreds had I interacted with over the 15 years there. But it was one. And there are kids that maybe down the road, 20 years down the road, will come back. I, frankly, interacted with that on a regular basis at that church. People would call us and, hey, we used to go to Faith Baptist in Warren 20 years ago. The bus picked us up. Can we come back? Of course. You see, God calls us to labor founded in love. We work ourselves to the bone at times because God loved us. And so I share God's love to others. No matter who it is, irrespective of merit, I cherish them and give them God's love. The world is in desperate need of Christians who will love them to the Savior. Now, that includes speaking to them and sharing with them truth. You see, love has discernment and judgment. I was reading in my own devotions this morning from Philippians chapter 1. And Paul asked that God would increase their love in all wisdom and judgment. We usually talk about increase my love so I'll be kind and feel warm and fuzzy about this person. No, that I'll have the discernment to understand and see where their need is spiritually and provide this biblical salve to that problem. So, yes, there were plenty of times in our bus ministry back in Warren where, I'm sorry, child, you can't come. You've broken the rules. Taylors understand that with this. We've already talked about this as we prepare to start this. There are rules. It's a privilege to come to Heritage Baptist Church. It's not your right. Some of them always think everything's their right. All right. And so we had to love discerning. Why? Because we didn't want that rebellious child who had shown resistance to God's grace and God's goodness to ruin another child who was open to the truth. I wanted that child to be able to hear the gospel and come to Christ. So you have to have discernment and judgment, I understand. But may we have a heart to share God's love without respect of merit. C, another C, or a point three if you want to call it that way. Paul rejoiced in their work that was founded in faith and their labor that was founded in love and their endurance, their patience, as he says in verse 3. Their patience or endurance founded in hope. You see, they were willing not to be passive, but to be stout-hearted. That's the idea of patience there. They were both aggressive and courageous in the long haul of the Christian life. They soldiered on. I'm amazed. We have lost in so much in our culture and society a stout-heartedness to do what's right because it's right. We come up with every excuse in the book to placate our self-pity parties and to get, you know, make life easy. We want to all sit on our bed and eat bonbons. All right? And our whole culture is that way. It just to be a godly Christian today takes a lot of stout-heartedness, endurance. Why do I get up in the morning and have devotions? Because it's always just, I just can't wait. No, I will tell you there are times you get up because it's the right thing to do and I'm going to do it. Stick to it. Endure. Why? Because there's hope. Our certainty of heaven, of reward, and of reigning with Christ is as certain as I stand here today. It is a reality that I do not fully grasp or understand, and yet is greater than the reality that I know right now. I've shared with you the poem that sometimes I share at the gravesite of a beloved saint of God who is being buried. F.B. Meyer says, I'm sure that they are pitying us for our half-life as they've experienced the fullness of joy in God's very presence. Believer, we have a hope that should motivate and encourage us to stick with it, to be stout-hearted, to be faithful to God and His Word. Even when it's not pleasant or easy, even when it's not sugar-coated, may God help us as a church family to endure. I don't want to face persecution. My instincts as a human being doesn't like pain. And I, like most men, don't like pain. All right, isn't it funny? We men are supposed to be these strong, sturdy guys, and yet you poke them in the right spot and they wilt. Ladies, you are amazing to me, and I know that God has gifted you to bear children and all those things, but as a whole, ladies seem to hang on to or handle pain a lot better than us wimps, all right, us men. And yet, God has called us, if we would one day face persecution, to stand strong, to endure. May we not love our life so much that we're unwilling to serve our God. There's an eternity that we face, a judge that we'll stand for and give an account. May we be found faithful. Endure. Endure. So tomorrow morning, Christian, you may run across that person at work that just pokes you in the wrong way. Well, let your faith show. Let your love show. Let your endurance show. You say, but Pastor, isn't there a point at which I can just not have to do it anymore? Shall I forgive them 70 times 7? And then I can stop? I'm so glad that God forever forgave me. I will rejoice in heaven because I've been forgiven a debt that I cannot pay. Praise God for His eternal forgiveness. May I strive by His help and grace to live it out in my life. May I endure. Finally today, thank you for your patience, but finally. Paul rejoiced, and as we run to verse number 7 and actually 8, I put it this way, Paul rejoiced in the modeling of both evangelism and discipleship that the Thessalonians demonstrated, the modeling. So we talked about the work and the labor, the work of faith, the labor of love, the endurance in hope, and now the modeling of evangelism and discipleship. Sorry, it doesn't fit the outline real perfectly, but I think you'll understand what I say when we get here to verses 7 and 8. You see, these Thessalonians were so affected by working for the Lord in love, in faith, and in patience, that their testimony moved around the known world. I don't know, we don't have it recorded for us exactly what happened. Did the Thessalonians send out people like we'll send out Pastor Allen? I don't know. Did maybe because the businessmen in the church, as they traveled to and fro, were unashamed of their Savior, told of their Savior everywhere? Was that what it was that made their testimony go forth? I don't know. All I know is that Paul says in verse 7, "For from you sounded out the word of the Lord." All right, now that word "sounded out" is that he proclaimed they were ringing out God's word. It doesn't sound like they were hesitating or wondering, is this a good time? Now, I am grateful, frankly, even to this day when the fire truck goes by, that those sirens are loud. They're not trying to be sheepish about that. I had a neighbor across the street in Warren. He was a motorcycle guy. And he had a bumper sticker on the back of his helmet. All right, you got to know motorcycle guys. Anyways, all right, bumper sticker on the back of the helmet said, "Loud pipes save lives." Loud pipes save lives. Well, at 4:30 in the morning when he got up to go to work, you heard the loud pipes. On this one, he's like, "Oh yeah, there's the loud pipes. All right, I know you're out there, all right?" So, he didn't hide that he was a motorcycle guy. Most of them don't. Why do we hide that we're Christians? Let's sound out that God is a God that loves us. Believer, don't be sheepish about your Christianity. Whatever the Thessalonians did, they sounded it out. They were tempered by God's grace and wisdom, I'm sure. But they didn't hide. Do your neighbors, do your family, do people that you meet at Walmart, do they know you're a Christian? Are you proclaiming God's truth? So they sounded out the word of the Lord. And he goes on, "For you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia," Macedonia, the state, if I can put it that way, they lived in, and Achaia, which was south of them, but also in every place. Paul didn't go anywhere where they didn't hear, "Hey, the Thessalonians have already sounded out the word of God here. Your faith to God word is spread abroad so that we need not speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had among you. Unto you, I should say, and how ye turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God." You see, their faith, verse 8, end of verse 8, had spread abroad. They had modeled both believing, their faith, all right, your faith has been spread abroad, and the discipleship that follows. You see, it's not real faith if it's not lived out. They had trusted Christ as their Savior and Lord, and it was being lived out in their life, in their everyday living. And so they became models, examples of Christianity. And so we come to my final thought this morning. Believers, I rejoice to hear when we talk about Heritage Baptist Church. Now, your testimonies and rejoicing and being a part of this church family is just encouraging, all right? Just very encouraging in my heart. And may God help that to continue. May we continue to love one another. But let us sound out our wonderful church family and send it out. why is it that Pastor Allen feels called to church planting, and why is it that we're going to get behind him and support him with every ounce of energy and strength that we have? Because we want Heritage Baptist Church to be reproduced, do we not? If it's good enough for us here, then let's share it. Let's be willing to give another church family the joy and blessing of what we experience on a week-to-week basis. So we gladly, we've spent, is it 9 years now you've been on staff, Pastor Allen? 9 years training this guy. We're going to still work on him. And that's okay, because you're still working on me. And I mean that seriously. God keeps growing us. But we want Pastor Allen to take what we have here and go start another ministry and work that will reproduce Heritage Baptist Church. He's going to be a Baptist church. Sorry, if you start a Presbyterian church, we're stopping the money, all right? And you say, you hate Presbyterians? No, I don't hate them. I want them to come to know the truth and align with our Baptist doctrine, which is in line with God's Word. That's all. I want them to be like us. By God's grace, he'll have a music program one day like ours. Now, that means we got to help him find somebody. Why are they laughing? Pastor Al and I were sitting down on Friday discussing some of this because he's on Tuesday, in fact, be praying. Tuesday, he's applying, if I can put it that way, officially to AIBCI, to the Association of Independent Baptist Churches of Illinois, for support. They're interviewing him and so forth, so he's coming down to our board meeting, all those kinds of things. So we're working through this long application and so forth. We got talking about music, and we just had some fun. And you know, he showed a tender, sweet spirit. He's grown in the Lord. He understands. He's showing discernment even in that area. But by God's grace, he's going to have a church that will replicate in many ways our character and personality. This is what he's known, and that's okay. That's good, isn't it? May God help us to spread abroad, that our faith will be spread, the faith of Heritage Baptist Church, what we believe and what we stand for, be duplicated in another place. May we bear a godly child in every possible way. Now, you know what that means for us? Well, we go back to the first three characteristics. It means that we're going to have to continue to work based on our faith, stay faithful to God's Word. We're going to have to labor. Believers, as we strive to help Pastor Allen plant this church, it's really us, not just him, that's the mother. He's the shepherd that's going to be there, but it's our work and labor in it. It's going to take time. I don't want to try to hide this from you. To start a church, there's many joys, but there's also just lots of hard work. We're not certain yet, but it looks like God is opening some potential doors for us to do the work in Crystal Lake. All right, there's the need for a Baptist church in that area. Of all things, I was just talking to a preacher on Saturday. Was it Saturday? No, maybe it was Friday. It was Friday. Friday morning before I talked with him. There's a possibility of a building that's available. Could you imagine that? This would be almost upside down for us to have a building before we have a church family. All right, it usually goes the other way around, but a building is key, especially down in that area. Well, okay, so Crystal Lake area is about an hour from here. I trust that we'll be willing as a church family on a regular basis to go down and help serve down there. We've got it. This baby will need nurturing. Need a lot of care to start with. A lot of doors knocked on, doors hangers put out. Programs that will need to be encouraged. A pastor that may need our encouragement every once in a blue moon. Now, don't you all go down there on the same Sunday. But I would not be offended if maybe we even, if needs be, set up a rotation where, all right, for the first year, one of us is always going to be at his service. Now, wouldn't that be something? That's a little bit of sacrifice. You might eat at McDonald's on the way home instead of going out here to a nice place up here, but to be an encouragement. That's the kind of sacrifice we're talking about as we look ahead to spread our faith to the regions beyond. We've supported for years, and may God continue to prosper it, the number of missionaries that we have. I'm anxious, frankly. We're bringing in a couple of new faces in the next several months. Excited about what God is doing in their lives, and we'll get to that point when we get there. And we need to continue to reach the world for Christ, but we also need to put some feet to our prayers and to our giving and be willing to labor ourselves. May God help us by this time next year to be excited about maybe a new church almost being ready to go, having already put in hours of labor to see it get off the ground. May our faith, as God gives us opportunity, spread around this world. So folks, let's labor. Labor in love. Let's work in faith. Let's endure in hope. And let's model true biblical Christianity to the world. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for a day for us to stop and consider and think through where you've blessed us in so many ways and how you've helped us to grow as a church family and united us in spirit and heart. Protect all that, Father. I know that Satan is discouraged by that and would do anything he could to destroy us. We need you to protect us, Father. And Lord, may we be bold then, as individuals and as a corporate body, to unashamedly let our faith affect how we live, that we would work in faith. Lord, give us a heart of compassion that gives love irrespective of merit. Would you, Father, in a unique way prosper the outreach through using our van to reach some folks for the Lord Jesus Christ? Lord, give us good wisdom every week to help them. We would desire to see not only children, but whole families reach for the Lord Jesus Christ. We beg that you would answer that prayer. And then, Lord, help us to endure. Lord, at times it's just hard. Well, let us do what's right. May we have the patience, because we look ahead to our wonderful hope, eternity with you, hearing well done from our judge, reigning with Christ. Oh, Lord, may that cause us to be faithful today. And may we be about the work then of modeling our Christianity, helping others to come to Christ, helping others to grow in Christ. May we be found faithful in our evangelism and discipleship. And may you, Lord, in a unique way, in ways beyond our comprehension, in ways that would bring you total glory, not us, may you establish a church through Pastor Allen's ministry and work. And may we rejoice to see that happen in the days ahead. Lord, work in our hearts. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, no one looking about. Believer, maybe today there's been a challenge, whether it's about living out your faith, whether it's about living out love, whether it's about being patient, enduring, whether it's about modeling. And you say, Pastor, God's working in my heart, and there's some areas where I need to grow in Christ. He's pricked my heart today. And would you pray with me that God would help me to be the Christian, like the Thessalonians, that God wants me to be? Can I pray for you? I know it's a broad prayer request, but maybe that's your need. Say, Pastor, God's working in my heart. Yes, amen. Yes, amen. Several hands. May God help us to demonstrate the characters of the Thessalonians in our own lives today. Yes, amen. Are you here today without the Savior Jesus Christ? He died for you. He loves you absolutely. He wants to pay the price for your sin. All you have to do is receive it. He's offering it to you as a free gift. He died on the cross, shed His own blood so that you would not have to face eternity without Him, eternal punishment. But you must accept the gift by faith, turn from your sin, and trust Jesus alone for your eternal life, letting Him be the Lord of your life. Say, I want to follow Him. I'm going to obey Him, but I must trust Him first. Is that your need today? Could I pray for you? Say, Pastor, that's my need. I need to be saved today. Anyone like that, quietly slip their hand in the air and say, Pastor, that's my need. Please pray for me. Lord, thank you for the time together today. Oh, Father, help us to be a church that would be praised like Paul praised the Thessalonians. So give us strength to serve you faithfully,
to work in faith. Let our faith be demonstrated. Let our love be demonstrated. Let our patience be demonstrated. May we model Christianity so that others will get saved and grow in Christ. If there's one here today without the Savior, draw them to thyself. It's in your name we pray. Amen.